May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So when I was 15 years old, my sister was a senior in college, and she came home one weekend, which wasn't out of the ordinary. She had to, I guess, get some food, maybe do some laundry. It was regular. But this time, she had to have what I can only imagine is the hardest conversation she's ever had in her life. Because she came home as a 22-year-old, 23-year-old, something around that, and she had to tell my folks, she had to tell her mom and her dad she was pregnant. She was still in school. She was not married. You can imagine the anguish she went through. I was 15, so I didn't fully grasp what all was going on. But over the course of the next months, my sister, with the help of family and friends, made the decision to have this baby and to place this baby for adoption. And so on October 21st, 1995, the day before my 16th birthday, my first niece was born. She was then, a couple days later, given in adoption to Tammy and Keith. And for the first several years, it was an open adoption. It was arranged through Lutheran Social Services, and they would arrange these play dates where, like, I remember going to Chuck E. Cheese, places like that, where, you know, I was 16, 17, and go hang out with this two-year-old. And then, for whatever reason, after a couple of years, the adoptive family closed the adoption for a bit. And for a long time, we didn't have a lot of updates. We didn't have a lot of information. And so as the story goes on, at some point in those intervening years, when she was a teenager, Madison was given by her mom my sister's name, Carrie Bentrup. And so as teenagers are wont to do, they are perfectly capable of stalking people online. And so she, I guess, first found me, right? Because my sister's last name was no longer Bentrup. And so apparently she thought about calling me up out of the blue one day, which, like, that would have been a little weird. But figured out Carrie's Facebook and would keep up tabs for several years. It went on for a while, would keep tabs on what was going on. And that was it. And then in 2017, my dad died. And in the months after that, as you can imagine, my sisters and I posted things about the first whatever since my dad died, the first whatever since my dad died. And so my dad died in March. That fall, Madison apparently went stalking again and wanted to get some updates on what her birth mother was up to, and saw a post that one of us had made about my dad. And so, as we're told, she called up Tammy and said, "Hey, did you know?" And said, "I need to reach out to Carrie." And so, in the middle of the night in the fall of 2017, my sister got a Facebook message from her daughter. And so that led to the reunification, the reunion, the celebration of these two families who had been separated. I can remember, the boys knew that Madison existed. We were open with them about my sister had a baby, gave her up for adoption, all of that. They were, in 2017, what were they? They were 9 and 7 years old. And so I can remember, we were going to Olive Garden, because that's apparently where you do these family dinners. We were going to Olive Garden to meet Madison and her parents and to do Christmas. It was Christmas season. And I'm prepping the boys for this. I'm like, "Remember, we told you, Madison, she's Aunt Carrie's." They're like, "I thought Aunt Carrie had Bryce and Brady." "Yes, but," you know. Then I thought Julia was the oldest. "Yes, but." So it was really confusing. But over the past 6 years, Madison has gone on family vacations. Madison and Eli got married, and we were all at their wedding. And last weekend, for Easter lunch at my mom's house, Madison and Eli were there, and Madison is pregnant. don't know what it says about me that my sister is old enough to be a grandma. But this new life, these rebuilt relationships, this joy only came because the hardest thing I've ever gone through. So if you were here last week, I said every cross flowers with new life. I said every tomb bursts forth with resurrection. I said every silence rings out, alleluia. It's not just a metaphor. Sometimes we find new life in hard places. So now, during the Easter season, we are going to be reading through the book of Acts. We do this every year. Normally, the first reading we hear is from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. It tells the stories of the people of God. That's the function of the first reading, is to tell these stories of the people of God. And in the Easter season, we get to turn to what is essentially Act 2 of that story. It's the story of the people of God, but this time after Jesus had died and rose again. And so in the coming weeks, we'll hear the stories of the disciples who are going out teaching. We'll hear the stories of the disciples who are going out baptizing, urging people to believe this good news. We'll hear the stories of the people of God. We'll hear the stories that make up who we are. And so this first one we hear today, I find this interesting because we have the gospel reading where we're in the upper room, and we have this, and right, it says, later on that same day, the disciples were still locked in the room, and Jesus walked in. We all know this story, right? And we all look down on Thomas, or maybe, hopefully we don't look down on Thomas. And we're like, Thomas was actually the first one to like question and like want to trust but verify, right? But it's key that it says later that day, they were still locked in the upper room. Because earlier in the day, the disciples were in that upper room, except for Thomas, because he was out doing whatever he was doing. Jesus walked in, did the same exact thing, showed his scars, and it says, the disciples doubted. And so that first time the disciples doubted and Jesus walked into their midst, they went back to the upper room, they locked themselves back in there. This time Thomas was with them, and Jesus walked in again. Jesus walked in again and said, peace be with you. The Holy Spirit was granted to the disciples in that moment. And in that moment, Act 2 of the disciples' life began. They had all the information they needed before. Jesus had told them everything they needed to know. But something in their life had to click. Some moment in their life had to happen for them to go from a locked upper room to our story in Acts, where Peter and the disciples stand in front of the crowd and say, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Something in their life changed in those days in between. Something in our life has to change to wake us out of our slumber, to shake us out of our complacency, to get us from being people who just go through the motions, to be people who go out and proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen. Peter, in his sermon, which is a really long sermon, we'll pick up some of it next week as well, but as we close today's reading, he says, of this we are all witnesses. We are all witnesses. Witnesses. So that, I think, to me means two different things. One, we are witnesses. We have seen the risen Lord, Peter says. And so for those of us here, we are all witnesses. We have seen the risen Lord. We've seen the risen Lord in our Easter celebrations. We've seen the risen Lord in families reunited. We've seen the risen Lord in new relationships and new hopes and new dreams. We've seen the risen Lord even in the midst of our trials in our tribulations. We have seen the risen Lord. But when Peter says that, he doesn't just mean these are things that we've seen. He also means we are to be witnesses of this. We are to proclaim, we are to testify, we are to tell the world what we've seen. And so we in this place get to tell the world all that we've seen. We get to tell the world that we've seen lives transformed. We get to tell the world that we've seen God's love for everyone. We get to tell the world the Lord is risen. And so we do that in a lot of ways. Today we get to tell the world that Easter's not over because we have an egg hunt and a petting zoo to prove it. And the bounce house. See? I can't even keep up. Yeah. See, the celebration gets to continue. There's also a handout, and Becky's going to come up a little bit later to talk more about it. But starting in Easter, we also get to tell the world that Jesus is risen and that God loves everyone. And we get to do that through our new Easter outreach project. I'll let her share the details, but we get to proclaim from this place that every child is loved by God. Every child is loved by God. We are witnesses. We have seen the risen Lord. We have had our lives transformed. We have all the information we need. Now we just have to do something about it. Amen.